In keeping with the spirit of World Communion Day, I'd like to ask Elder Arshad Azim to come forward and read our first scripture reading.
Mark chapter 14, 22nd to 25th. And I am reading in my own translation. مرکز کی انجیل اور اس کا چودھواں باب اور اس کی بائیسویں آیت سے پچیسویں آیت تک. دس از اے ورڈ ٹو ورڈ ٹرانسلیشن. اور وہ کھا ہی رہے تھے کہ اس نے روٹی لی اور برکت دے کر توڑی اور ان کو دی اور کہا کہ لو یہ میرا بدن ہے. اس نے پیالہ لے کر شکر کیا اور ان کو دیا اور ان سبوں نے اس میں سے پیا. اور اس نے ان سے کہا کہ یہ میرا عہد کا خون ہے جو بہتیروں کے لیے بہایا جاتا ہے. میں تم سے سچ کہتا ہوں کہ انگور کا شیرہ پھر کبھی نہ پیوں گا اس دن تک کہ خدا کی بادشاہی میں نیا نہ پیوں. This is the word of God.
Our second scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Philippians. We will read from chapter 3, verses 4b through 14. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. If any other man thinks he hath reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I usually don't pay a whole lot of attention to what goes on in popular culture, but I couldn't help but to pay a little bit of attention to the trial of Dr. Conrad Murray, who was the doctor charged in the manslaughter case of Michael Jackson. Couldn't help but to reflect on the life of Michael Jackson. When I was a boy, many of the kids my age wanted to be like Michael Jackson. He had everything that we thought brought success and salvation in our culture. He had fame, he had talent, he had looks, he had fortune. We all wanted to be like Michael Jackson. And yet, as we've learned in the last year or so with his death, and even before then, his life was a tragic one. All the things that we often believe bring success don't always guarantee that. In fact, they sometimes seem to bring loneliness and loss and despair. The important thing is not what our society and culture tells us we have to have in order to find salvation, but the important thing is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's what the Apostle Paul is saying in our text this morning. Paul, keep in mind, when he penned this letter, was sitting in prison for proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds the Philippian community of his impressive pedigree. He reminds them that he is a Hebrew among Hebrews, that he is zealous for the tradition of his fathers, that he was scrupulous in observing the law, that he was a young man on the fast track of going somewhere. He was a man of high moral standing and character, righteous in every way. Paul had it all. He was a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a very, very impressive young man, zealous for the ways of his people. And yet Paul says that he gave all of that up. He gave up the things that defined him and grounded his identity. He gave it all up in order to experience the surpassing value of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. To know the Lord, of course, is not just to know about him. Many of us know a great deal about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know the highlights of his life. We know that he was born of the Virgin Mary. If we've been in church for any significant period of time, we know that. We know that he went around doing good works. We know that. We know even that he died for our sins. We know all of that. But to know all of these things does not necessarily mean that we know him. To know the Lord Jesus Christ is to know his heart. It is to know his mind. Indeed, it means to have the same heart and the same mind that was in Christ Jesus in us. If we really want to know Jesus, if we really want to know the Lord, then we'll have the same heart and the same mind that Jesus had. That's what Paul means when he says that he wants to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to know the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings. And in order for Paul to know this, Paul understands that he must be willing to count all of the things that went before, all the ways that he defined his life. He counts them as rubbish. Many of you are here today because I suspect that you too want to know the Lord. You want to experience the surpassing value of knowing him and being shaped and formed in his image. But how do we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we come to know the Lord? Well, we come to know the Lord, first of all, in coming to a place like this. We come to know the Lord when we come here to worship and to praise his name. But we also come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through his Spirit, through the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. We come to know him by letting his Spirit fall upon us, leading us and guiding us into the ways of God. Now, of course, we have to be careful because we know that there are all kinds of spirits that are operative in our world. There are all kinds of spirits that are blowing in our world and blowing in our midst. There are spirits of strife, spirits of envy, spirits of division and dissension. There are spirits out there that seek to destroy, spirits that seek to tear down. There are those spirits that seem to be at odds with everything that God would want us to be. That's why the Bible tells us that we are called to discern the spirits, because some of those spirits even blow in the midst of the church. Some of those spirits even blow among us, among God's people. And so the Bible tells us to be able to discern the spirits, to be sure that those spirits are from God. Not every spirit that's blowing in our midst is a spirit from God. But if a spirit is a spirit of peace, if the spirit is a spirit of forgiveness and reconciliation, if the spirit is a spirit that builds up as opposed to tearing down, if the spirit is a spirit of oneness and unity, then you can be assured that it's the spirit of God. It is the spirit of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit. And if you want to know Christ, you have to be open to the movement of God's Spirit in our midst. There's a second way we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. Every Sunday we gather here to read the Word and to hear the Word and to proclaim the Word. If we want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, if we want to know His mind and His heart, then we have to stay in the Word. We have to meditate on the Word, and we have to hear the Word, and we have to study the Word. The Word is very important in shaping us and forming us so that we too might have the mind and the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the first Bible that was given to me. It was given to me when I was 12 years old at my baptism. And one of the things that I like about us here is that every time we have a baptism, we make sure that we give a Bible as a gift to those who are being baptized. Whether they're 80 or whether they're 8 months old, we give them the Bible because we understand that the Word is terribly important in shaping and forming them. We understand that the Word is important in them knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and so we give them a Bible. And I had that Bible too when I was baptized at 12, and I actually read it. I took it home and I read it. I read it before I went to bed. I began with the book of Genesis because I wanted to know the beginning of things. And after I got finished with that, I flipped over and I read the book of Revelation because I wanted to know the ending of things. And in between there, I began to read the New Testament and begin to read the Gospels and begin to read the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I read the Word of God because reading the Word of God is terribly important in our Christian formation. We need to know our story. We need to know who God is, and we need to know who we are. Just like there are many spirits out there, there are many stories out there. There are many stories out there vying for our attention. Many stories out there that seek to shape us and to form our hearts and our minds. There's the story of our country. There's the story of our family. There's the story of our culture. There's the story out there that we learn by simply being in the midst of our culture. We learn the stories of our world. But we are gathered here today because we have a different story. We have another story. We have the story that is contained in God's Word, God's self-revelation. And it's that story that we need to make sure that shapes and forms us as we seek to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The story that we read about in the Bible is the story of a God who loved the world so much that He sent His only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the sake of the whole world. Not just for me, not just for you, not just for people who look like us, not just for people who speak our language, not just the people who share our cultural outlook, not just the people who are members of our family, members of our community, members of our country, but God loved the world. He loved the world so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the world. And if we want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, if we want to know that God, if we want to be shaped and formed by that story, then we need to study the Word and stay in the Word and be shaped and formed by the Word so that we might know Jesus, our Lord. So we come to know Jesus by being open to His Spirit, and we come to know him by reading and studying and meditating on his word. But there is a third way that we come to know Christ, and that is by gathering around the table, the Lord's table, the table where we break bread in remembrance of his sacrifice on our behalf. It is in the breaking of the bread that we become one, not only with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his suffering and his death, but we also become one with Christians everywhere, regardless of who they might be or where they might live or what language they may speak. As you've already heard, this Sunday is a special Sunday in the Christian year. It's a special Sunday because it is World Communion Sunday. And this is the Sunday when Christians around the world will reach across the globe, past the walls that divide us, in recognition of the fact that together we are all one. We are all part of the body of Christ. Doesn't make any difference the color of our skin. Doesn't make any difference our nationality. Doesn't make any difference our ethnic origin. Doesn't make any difference what language we speak. We are all one. We are all part of the body of Christ. That's who we are. And it's important to understand that the unity that we have is not a result of our own efforts. It's not a result of our own determination. It's not a result of our own resolve. But the unity that we have comes as a result of pure gift. It is the gift that comes as the result of the breaking of the Lord's body and the shedding of his blood on the cross. And yet we often fail to receive the gift of that unity. We fail to receive it because we place all kinds of other things at the center of our lives. You know what those things are. We often place our nationality or our skin color or our political and social orientations, our denominational creeds and traditions, all the things that divide us. World Communion Sunday was actually started by us good old Presbyterians in 1937. It was started during a time when much of the world was caught in nationalistic fervor, and the church wanted to emphasize the unity that we had as a result of being members of the body of Christ. The sad fact is that in a few short years after the World Communion Day was started, that the world was embroiled in war, World War II, a conflagration. And we had the unfortunate and tragic situation of Christians fighting other Christians, German Christians fighting American Christians, Italian Christians fighting British Christians. It happened because we begin to place other things at the center of our lives instead of wanting to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Italian Christians started to put their Italianness before their identity with God. American Christians begin to put our Americanness before our identity with God. German Christians begin to put their Germanness over their identity with God. And before it was all over, Christians, fellow members of the body of Christ, people who made the same confession, people who said that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, people who called each other brothers and sisters, were fighting each other, killing each other, murdering each other. We all know the sad story, particularly of the German Christians who made confessions of believing not just in the Lord Jesus Christ, but in soil and blood and motherland. German Christians who paid their ultimate fealty not to the Lord Jesus Christ, but to Hitler and to the Nationalist Socialist Party. And so we had that very sad chapter in the history of our modern world. And yet today I wonder if we've actually learned anything from that. Today I wonder if we don't still do the same thing. I wonder if we here today don't put our own lives ahead of our Christian identity. I wonder if we don't put our Americanness, our belief in our own country ahead of what it means to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if we don't put our blackness ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if we don't put our whiteness ahead of our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if we don't put our middle classness ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if we've actually learned anything about what it means to know Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us that it's those things that he gave up. It is those things that he took a loss on. Paul says, the most important thing is that I belong to Jesus Christ. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know the Lord. Paul says, all that other stuff doesn't make a difference. What I was doesn't count anymore. Yes, I'm a Jew, and I'm proud of being a Jew, but it doesn't count anymore. Yes, I'm a Pharisee, and I'm proud to be a Pharisee, but it doesn't count anymore. Yes, I'm blameless before the law. I'm a member of the tribe of Benjamin, but you know what? That doesn't count anymore. What counts is my belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. What counts is my wanting to participate in his sufferings. I want to know him. That's what the Apostle Paul says. I want to know him. That's the only thing I want to know. I want to know Jesus. I want to know Christ. I want to participate in his resurrection and participate in his sufferings. And for that, Paul says, everything else I'm willing to take a loss on in order to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what makes the table that is at the front here so important, because it is at this table, gathered around the table, that we too learn what it means to know the Lord Jesus Christ. In that passage that Ashad read from Mark, Jesus takes the bread, he takes it, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and he distributes it among his disciples. And that is the pattern, not only for Jesus' death and suffering, but it is the pattern of Jesus' whole life. Jesus was the one who was chosen. Jesus was the one who was blessed. Jesus was the one who was broken. Jesus was the one who was given for each and every one of us. And it's at this table that we not only come to know that, it's at this table that we not only come to know who Jesus is, but it's at the table that we also come to know who we are. It's where we come to also realize that we too have been chosen. It's where we come to realize that we too have been blessed. You're here this morning because you've been blessed. You've been blessed by God. We've all been blessed. It's here that we too come to realize that we are broken. We are all broken people. None of us have it all together. We're all broken. God calls broken people. We are all broken. And it's here at this table that we come to realize that we are called to give ourselves away for the sake of the world. The Apostle Paul understood that, and that's what he says. I want to know Jesus. I want to know Christ. I want to know what it means to be blessed. I want to know what it means to be broken. I want to know what it means to be given away in self-giving love, as was the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are here this morning as the body of Christ. We're here this morning representing all the various aspects of humanity. We are here as black and white. We are here as male and female. Some of us are here because we live in the suburbs, and some of us are here because we live in the inner city. Some of our national origins are rooted here in this country, and some of them are rooted somewhere else, but we are all here as the body of Christ. And we are all here because we've given up. We've given up for loss, the things that don't matter, the things that the rest of the world are defined by. We've given those things up. We've given them up because we've accepted the one identity that matters, the identity that we have in Christ. Take that identity. Take it out into the midst of this world that's divided. Take it out into the midst of this world that is fighting among itself. Take it out into this world that is racked with dissension and strife. Take it out into this world to bear witness to God's healing, to bear witness to God's peace, to bear witness to the oneness that comes with being a part of the Lord Jesus Christ's body. Do you want to know him? Do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to know Christ? If you want to know him, if you want to know him, then remember the supper that we will partake here today. Remember who we are, that we belong to Christ, and he is in us, and we are in him. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have called us to be a peculiar people. You have called us to be a people who is forged by our remembrance of the great sacrifice that you undertook on our behalf. Lord, help us to realize that you have called us to follow the one who died for all of us. Help us to live in accordance to the self-giving love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to do away with all the things that bring division and strife and dissension and alienation. Help us to embrace one another as brothers and sisters. Help us to be one, to claim that unity that you have provided for us through the breaking of your body and the shedding of your blood. We give you thanks, Lord, for who we are. We give you thanks for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for helping us to know you and giving us the strength to live in to who you have called us to be, a beloved community whose identity comes in the self-giving love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.